Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into this wonderful book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit as he works through the apostles. And we're in chapter 6. We're moving about choosing of the seven.
You know, it's amazing to think that the Holy Spirit that was in these guys and women, men and women in this day, is in us. And he's still working. There's still acts that are happening.
that's a very exciting point, because the truth is sometimes we don't recognize it, because God will not force himself on us. He waits for us to actually receive from him. And so we have to be open and willing for him to work in our lives. And when he is, it gets real exciting.
And when it is, people will recognize that and see that. And just like we're about to read, there's going to be an affirmation and there will be a witness in the world of the presence of God in your life.
And we're in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, and it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. I like that. The disciples were increasing.
Yeah.
And I think that I noticed that at Easter, the numbers of disciples in church increased.
Increased. Yeah, there was an increase.
There was a magnificent increase. After Easter, I would venture to say it was probably at least, maybe not a half, but almost a half.
Probably.
Less people in the actual congregation. It's amazing how the high holy days brings out the religious part of us.
It definitely does. I mean, and you know what? They have a love for the church, or they have a love for God, or a fear of God or something. It would be awesome if they came every week so that they could experience what they experienced on that one day, because God is here every Sunday.
Yeah. I think you're probably right when we talk about people today are being distracted. There's a lot of things that take their time, a lot of things that they focus on. Early America, God was the key thing. The churches are built right in the center of the town. Yeah. Everything revolved around the church. All the great institutions of higher learning were all theologians. Yeah. They were all theology schools like Harvard and Yale and all of those.
Yeah.
And everything was focused more on understanding the principles of God and lining up with them. Today, not so much. It's more what you want to do when you fit God into your schedule.
If you fit God into your schedule.
On Easter, you can fit him in.
On Easter, yeah. Now, you heard a statistic and that there was a large number of Americans.
65%.
65% that went on Easter Sunday. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know, but it sounds like a large amount.
Yeah.
But here, it says in those days, the number of disciples, they were increasing. More and more people were becoming disciples, which is the beginning of the church. And it says the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. There's always been conflict among people, whether it's in the church or out of the church. Conflict, we live with it.
Yeah, you know, and once again, sometimes it's because of race. And I don't want to say race,
well, they're mentioned here.
Yeah, you know, you have Greeks versus Hebrews, the Jews.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of you have to look at the historic and cultural significance of this statement right here, because the church was left in the hands of humanity. Now, Jesus is building his church and he's working in his church, but it's still human beings that are in charge of it. So.
Yeah, and so here we have two cultures colliding, actually colliding. And what they're colliding about is that one group of widows were being taken better care of than the other group of widows. Mm. And so when it comes to food, we always can have a problem with food.
Yeah.
And it's the distribution of food that's causing a challenge. Now, I am certainly glad here at Bethany, and I don't know the exact number of pounds or how many families, you know better than I do, what we distribute a weekly basis of food here. We have a lot of people coming.
We have hundreds of pounds of food that goes out every week. We probably do 100 families a week or more.
That's amazing.
On a good day. We're open a couple times a week on Mondays and Fridays from 1 to 3, and then various other times, a couple other various times. But there's a lot of food. Now, I could get more food, more free food from the government through USDA, but then I would have to keep copious records. But the part that always I'm afraid of is that certain people would get more than others, and we would have this problem right here.
And why would they get more than others? Because the government would see that they needed more, they say.
Based on your family size and various other things.
And we'd have to keep those records.
And I have to keep those records, but then people would be able to come in, and I could give some people 4 bags of groceries and others 2 bags of groceries. And so I know we always have a line of people there, and they're going to say, why'd they get 4 and I only get 2?
Yeah, so that's what's happening here in this particular year.
Yeah.
Same thing. So we don't really want this to happen.
No.
Obviously, it happened in the early church, and we don't want it to happen. So we give everybody an equal amount when they come in.
Exactly.
And so it's a blessing to be able to do that. But here, once again, you're bringing up the point that what happened back then is happening today.
Still happen today.
If we're not careful,
exactly.
Because people say, well, you're discriminating against us. Discrimination is a thing that everybody's screaming today.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
And the church is so generous. And I meet with other food pantries. And when the food pantry come and does an inspection, they're amazed at what we give out to people, because most of the other ones don't give as much and are as liberal as we are. And so it's exciting to be able to bless the people that come through our doors.
So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables.
Hmm.
Interesting there. So there's distributing of food. They're putting food out on the table. Apparently, people are eating the food. And the disciples, they probably don't want to deal with this issue because it could be a quagmire for them.
Yeah.
It could bring them into a conflict. And they're really more interested about feeding them spiritually, getting the Word of God. And so it says, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the Word of God so that we can take care of these issues.
Yeah. It's one amazing thing for me that I see here is the role of the early church just in its infancy, taking up the needs of the poor in the community, of those who could not provide for themselves. And women in this society, widows, if they didn't have a man in their life, they weren't educated, they didn't have a means of income, and the church steps up to the plate to help these people out. And the church has done that for centuries around the world. We have done this and focused our efforts on this and tried to be a blessing. And when government has gotten involved, sometimes it works, sometimes it hasn't. But here, the church is always getting their hands dirty to try to help people. And to live out what Jesus modeled for us and told us to do.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they solve this problem,
right?
Because they say, I don't really want to take away from what I'm doing as far as preaching the gospel. And I think every time you're looking for an answer to a problem, I think the key comes in raising up leaders.
Amen.
That's really what they're going to do. It says here, brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. So this is one of the key things in discipleship, is actually keeping your eye out for people who are full of the Spirit, they have wisdom, they are rising to a position of leadership, and give them that responsibility over this and delegate it to them. And that's really a leadership principle that was followed early help with problems.
You know, you think about all the business models that are out there.
And
this, that, and the other. And you come back and you find most of them are biblical, based on biblical principles that are found. And here's a great one right here. Somebody who has integrity, full of the Spirit, the presence of God, so you know they're going to be people of integrity, and that's always number one on the list. What kind of leader do you want, a man or a woman of integrity? And then what else do you want them to be able to do? The ability to look at a situation and to make a good choice and to rationally look at everything and have the wisdom to know what to do. Now, are you always going to make the right decision? Probably not, but that's okay. You know, you learn from mistakes and you move on, but they look for integrity and wisdom and God's presence there. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, gives you the ability to be a good leader and help out in situations like this.
It seems as though the apostles actually, when they said these kinds of things, they knew or they assumed that not every believer is going to be filled with wisdom.
Yeah.
Right. Not every believer is going to be faithful. Not every believer is going to be following the Spirit.
Right.
And so he's listing these things because, you know, you can come to church, you give somebody a job to do, And if they don't have the integrity, like you mentioned before, right. it's not going to get done.
No.
And it just makes your job even harder now.
Even harder. Yeah,
so here he says, be careful picking out people, but delegate to people who have honesty right. and all these wonderful things that are filled with the Spirit that will help them to do the kind of job that will actually relieve the tensions that are happening within yeah. the conflicts of the church or within the conflicts of the community or wherever you are.
Yeah. Paul talks about the workings of the Holy Spirit in people, and that we each have different gifts, and we each, you know, there are some that are leaders, there are some that are givers and teachers, and so each one is going to fit into a wonderful place, and they're going to fulfill God's plans and purposes and how he created them to work. And that's what the disciples are saying, is find those people that can step up and into this role and do it well.
And I have had pastors that have had a really difficult time, and they've actually been, I have to say, they've been voted out of churches, and they, you know, they've actually had to leave churches because they got voted out. And when I talk to them about it, and they find out what happened was, is that they actually placed people on their church board who were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They were yeah. seeking the Holy Spirit, they said, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens is, if they were not filled with the Holy Spirit, they're making decisions that are conflicting yeah. with the plan of God.
Yep.
And so he had real difficulty with enough people that were on this church board that were not filled with the Holy Spirit, that he was no longer able to stay.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself that you really need to be careful about people who you put in positions of leadership.
Definitely.
Because these guys recognized that you needed to have people that were full of the Holy Spirit, which meant they had the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's what
right.
they were looking for. There yep. are people that actually had the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. In
right.
other words, they were filled. Their most unruly member, the tongue, was under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And so it is important. Part of leadership is
yeah.
to find these kinds of people.
That is a great point, Pastor, because when the Holy Spirit is there in abundance,
yes.
like you said, you make decisions differently.
Differently.
And you judge people differently. There's a wonderful wisdom and a wonderful spirit, the Spirit of God, that's within you to help you make good decisions, not based on your own flesh and desires, but on God's desires.
So these men obviously decided that what we can do is, if these people have the fullness of the Spirit, we recognize the wisdom of the Spirit within them, then we can turn these responsibilities over to them. We
yeah.
can trust them. But, you know, if you turn it over to someone who's not filled with the Holy Spirit
yeah.
or wisdom, it's going to come back and bite you.
It is.
You're going to have all kinds
of... We don't have any of those problems
all
here.
Kinds of,
you know,
all kinds of trouble. But so this is a real piece of wisdom here
yeah.
when you're looking for partnerships and people that are going to be placed in responsibility. And then yeah. in verse number 4, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word, which is, I think that's vital, because people come to church, they really want to hear from God. And so if you spend some time in prayer and preparing the word that God has for the people, then they're going to be satisfied, they're going to be ministered to,
yeah.
and they're recognizing that, like you mentioned before, earlier, that God has given gifts
yeah.
to many people. One, he gives gifts to people who are pastors, who have the ministry, evangelists, the prophets, and all of those, but then he gives other kind of gifts where people who actually have the gift of giving, the gift
yeah.
of administration, the gift to do all these kinds of other things, so it's the body ministry to itself in a powerful way.
It's great when people can find their niche in ministry and service. Sometimes it's in the church. Sometimes it's within the church walls, be it a Sunday school teacher or a choir member using their voice to sing. Other times people can use it outside of the walls of the church and in hospitality and inviting friends over and introducing them to Jesus over a cup of coffee and a plate of cookies, or however they can do it in service and wherever they can do it. It's wonderful to be able to take that fullness of the Spirit that's within you and use it for God's glory.
And once again, here, it seems like the apostles are saying that even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's insufficient unless you are called into a particular ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. And so if you think that you can do one of these things without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find yourself in hot water doing it in your own strength. But here, if you are called into the preaching of the word, then you should be spending time in prayer, spending time in ministry of the word, because that's the calling that you have received. You need to fulfill the calling that you received. That's the key.
It definitely is. You know, and a look back at church history, you'll find that there were probably people in leadership positions in the church, and we could probably point them out, who weren't full of the Spirit because they made choices and decisions in leadership in the church that took the church into very, very wrong areas and bad situations. And whether it be they formed their own cults or, you know, false teaching, or whether it was done in the name of Jesus and yet they weren't filled with the Spirit, you can kind of see the damage that has been done. And the same is true, you know, today, that if the Spirit of God is not there and you're trying to serve in ministry, it'll probably cause more problem than good because you're not working under his anointing.
True. And I think a lot of the challenges that come within the theological realm have to do with money.
Yeah.
When I think about the church, especially when they were selling indulgences so you could buy your way out of heaven and buy your way into hell and buy your way into heaven. You know, there were indulgences, and they built great cathedrals and huge things with the money. And they, of course, then the Reformation came and said, no, it's by faith, because that's what the scripture says. But we get the same thing today when you get people that preach a prosperity gospel, the same idea. It's the money thing. Yeah. And Jesus says you can't serve both money and God.
Absolutely.
And money becomes a huge problem when we talk about this. So I would imagine here, when you're looking at these guys that are going to be handling, they're handling money, they're handling food, they're giving it. They cannot be showing favoritism to any different group.
Right.
You've got to have somebody that really can handle the money well, that's wise, that's maybe has some experience. And that's what he's looking for here. And then you give them the responsibility. And generally speaking, when people do not handle the money right, you find that's where the problems start.
Exactly.
Generally.
Exactly.
The proposal then pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, also Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a converted to Judaism.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a list of names for you.
Hey, listen, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope you enjoyed this. We hope that you recognize that you have a leadership position that God wants to put you in, and you need to be faithful in it.
Amen.
Have a great day.